It's game time, driven by Briggs Auto Lane and BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Here we go!
Hello and welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner. Yes, this is the game, not Wildcat Insider. That is done for, the summer. We'll be back at it in the fall, but for now you get us on Monday. So we resume our regularly scheduled program here. Today we're going to break down a lot of stuff from the NFL draft. Elijah Lee, Jordan Willis fell further than we probably thought they would. I do have a theory on that that I'll give you here in the open. At 5:10, some analysis from NFL Network on Elijah Lee and him sliding. I think people need to take it easy on him with the easy stance that, hey, he should have stayed here since he got drafted in the seventh round. I love the Patrick Mahomes pick for the Chiefs. They have just done something more intriguing than anything they have done in years, and that includes all the games that they've won in the last 4 years with Andy Reid. We're going to talk with Cole Manbeck as well today on the show at 5:25, get a little post-spring football reaction from him. And what he thought about K-State's prospects slipping in the draft. You can't be serious at 550, as always. To call the show, 537-1350, 866-776-1350. You can also tweet us at the game at KMAN. All right, well, I sat here on Thursday, the final show we did before the first round of the draft, and was relaying all the information to you that a lot of people had felt pretty good about Jordan Willis's chances to go in the first round. He not only missed the first round, but slid into the third round when he was finally scooped up by the Cincinnati Bengals. Then Elijah Lee was the less surprising one of the two to me, him not being drafted until the seventh round, was getting worried that he was even going to be drafted at all. It seems like a decent enough landing spot for him with the Vikings, but we'll give you some info on what the Vikings are saying about that selection later on. To me, these are two obviously very different cases in Jordan Willis and Elijah Lee. There's not one blanket reason why they slid in the draft. But I think with Jordan Willis and his situation, he comes in as a guy that is more ready to play than a lot of these defensive ends right away. But I would imagine he's going to be viewed as somebody with not as high a ceiling as, for instance, the defensive end from Villanova that the Chiefs drafted that nobody can pronounce his name. More of a physical freak that you can groom. That's really the mold of where teams want to go right now in the NFL, it seems like, and it depends on the team, but teams went for more upside. Eight defensive ends were taken before Jordan Willis, and I think this is almost a spot where, you know, just the fact that he is already a guy that's put in so much work dating back to high school when he was working out a lot with Mark Cimino at his place. I mean, he's just been working so meticulously for so long, and sometimes I think that can lead you to believe, well, he's already tapped into about all of what he's got. Well, he may be ready to play. How high is the ceiling?
Well, I think that's the counter to that would be the fact that his measurables are maybe the most attractive thing about Jordan Willis, and how he performed at the combine was absolutely huge in getting his name into the potential first round, seeing his name in those mock drafts. And it was actually his game tape that was holding him back a little bit, at least if you're going to ask ESPN's experts, Todd McShay and Mel Kiper. They said that, you know, he was an absolute freak at the draft, but when you watched his game tape, he lacked some consistency at times. There were some times where he disappeared in games. I'm just repeating what they had to say. So that would actually apply more to the other side of that coin, which makes it more surprising, because I do agree with your overall thought that there was a lot more high risk, high reward that was taken in this draft. Well, maybe Willis actually fits that mold more than you would think from a typical K-State player that you're going to say is just blue-collar and works hard even though he doesn't measure up as well as he should.
I think that's probably some fair pushback, because what you said right there with blue-collar, I think that's really the way that's what I'm trying to get across here. You view Jordan Willis as more of a blue-collar guy as opposed to, you know, this kid that comes from Villanova, and I'm using this as an example because it's easy here. We saw the Chiefs take him, and nobody really knew who he was. He went in front of Jordan Willis, but just another guy, athletic freak, put up all kinds of numbers, but he's played at a lower level. You don't really know what he is. He's going to take more time, you'd figure, to be ready to play, but just because of all the physical tools that he has, he may be a guy that has some higher upside than Jordan Willis. And Willis did have great combine numbers. You're right about that, and they do continue to say that not only the other thing I've heard about Willis is didn't impress all that much in the one-on-ones at the Senior Bowl, and then, yeah, has some holes on tape as far as just being spotty are a couple of things that you have heard about him. So, you know, maybe I'm a little bit off base on that, but my vibe that I just kept getting was, you know, teams are not as excited about the, you know, much like Cody Whitehair, guy who you can plug in right away. He's going to be ready to play, but maybe he's not an all-pro kind of guy down the road. He's just going to be a solid starter.
I would edit what you had to say about what the priorities were in this NFL draft by saying that maybe it wasn't necessarily because of them wanting to take higher risk, higher reward players in terms of what their tape was, but higher risk, higher reward in terms of the competition that they went against. And you could see that in this draft by the fact that the American Athletic Conference had more draft picks than the Big 12 did in this draft, and I know we're going to talk about that today. But there were a lot of players from the Villanovas. The Lamar College Cardinals had two players taken in this draft, and so I think that
West Georgia had more draft picks at least at one point than Georgia. I don't know if Georgia got another one in there, but it was 2-1.
Yeah, I believe it finished 2-1, and there was a lot of that in this draft. A lot of guys that stood out more than Jordan Willis would on tape because they were playing against competition that was way lesser. And, you know, the defensive end from Villanova that you mentioned, he had 24 tackles for loss last season, but that's because he's playing Villanova's schedule. So I think that there was a lot more of that in this draft, and maybe that's why we saw some of these guys like Jordan Willis slide down the board.
Yeah, I agree, and I want to hit on the Big 12 thing in just a moment here in the open. But just to slip in on Elijah Lee, and I'm going to talk more about that at 5:10, because I feel like Elijah Lee, the narrative with him going in the seventh round, it's very easy to just fall into the trap that, well, hey, just look at this on the surface, no nuance, don't dig deeper. Got taken in the seventh round, the guy should have come back, and people just kind of beat him over the head for that. I think there's more to it, and we need to back off on Elijah Lee for right now. The problem he had is if you're a middle-round guy, you're projected in the middle rounds, it's just you're really rolling the dice. It does not get nearly as surefire as when you're a first or second round projected pick. It just becomes so much of a crapshoot when you get into the middle and later rounds on what teams really like, what's going to sway them at the last minute. So he just, you know, unfortunately, he was at the mercy of being a middle to late round projected guy. So I'm honestly not all that surprised that it took until the seventh round for him to get drafted. K-State held their own when you're talking about Big 12 draftees with just the two that the Wildcats had. They were tied for second in the Big 12 with two guys drafted. West Virginia, Oklahoma State also had two. Oklahoma had four. The Big 12 as a whole had 14 players drafted. They had two players drafted in the first two rounds, Joe Mixon and Patrick Mahomes. They had five players drafted in the first three rounds. I mean, that's one that'll make your head turn when you go read it. And the American Athletic Conference, you referenced it, they had 15. So they had one more than the Big 12 as a whole. What does this mean for the conference? I mean, it's not a good look. There are some times where I think the Big 12 gets attacked unfairly, and most of that centers around just the relationship the schools actually have with each other. Some of it is on the field. But this is a pretty damning thing, I think, for the Big 12. It backs up a lot of the assertions that people have had about the conference just out there on the field here lately. The Big 12 is constantly fighting for a number of reasons for respect, and this is a pretty tangible thing you can look at and say, I mean, hey, if you're not having guys in the NFL draft, if you're not churning out draft picks here, yeah, it's not as talented of a league. There's really no running and hiding from this one like I think you can when someone says, for instance, all right, well, the Big 12 just doesn't play any defense. There are ways around that. You can say, look, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, big-time quarterback. He just went in the first round. These are great offenses. That's going to skew the defensive numbers. But when not even a slew of the offensive guys are going in the NFL draft, it becomes tougher to defend.
Yeah, I mean, there were six defensive players out of those 14 that were from the Big 12, and just six on defense, and two of those six were from K-State. I mean, that makes it really hard to back up that claim that, well, defenses don't look good in the Big 12 because the offenses are so good. Well, there were only eight picks from the offense that were taken in those seven rounds, and a couple of them were guys that maybe didn't even perform at that high of a level in college, but you feel like they've got really high ceilings, and there's all those red flags you have to deal with. Joe Mixon, a couple of offensive linemen were among the eight on the offensive side, so that leaves only six skill position players that were taken from the Big 12. Not good. I still stand by the fact that I think the Big 12 has the most fun brand of football in the country, but it's getting harder and harder to make the case that they are one of the top two or three leagues when you just look at it from top to bottom talent-wise.
Well, the stigma out there would be all the offense, it's just a byproduct of these systems, these spread offenses, and really the goal of the spread offense, the way that it started, it's a way to neutralize a talent gap. It's you can do more with less by just out-scheming someone with this crazy air raid type of offense. And while that may not work quite as much that way now because it's become so in vogue in college football, I think this is the type of thing that reinforces that again. Like, this is all just gimmicky systems. You know, the Cliff Kingsbury air raid, the stuff that Mike Leach started, it's just all systems that are doing it in the Big 12 and not actually talented players. This just, it's 1 year. Last year, the Big 12 had 26 drafted, so it was a big difference. This may just be a down year. But even if it is just a down year, that would sort of validate the arguments from the last year or two of people saying that the Big 12 is not really all that good.
And it's not totally fair to say that draft picks directly equal how good a league is from top to bottom, because you mentioned that the AAC had 15 and the Big 12 had 14. Well, if you had a Big 12 AAC challenge, like the Big 12 SEC challenge in basketball, and you just had every school match up with another one, maybe we're biased on this, but I would think that the Big 12 would win that challenge pretty handily. And that's evidence to say that it's not all about how many guys you get drafted. But when you get into recruiting, that's very important, because the SEC can march out there and say, look, if you want to get to the NFL, you do not want to go to the Big 12. You want to go here, or at the very least go to the Pac-12 or the Big 10. And that is a concern.
I agree with that spot on. I think the Big 12 would beat the AAC, and the Big 12 probably has a better quality of, you know, guys that are on the fringe of the NFL draft, probably more players at that level than you're going to find in the AAC, but still, you're the Big 12. I mean, you should be having more draftees than this. If we're going to hold the Big 12 to the standards of the SEC, Big 10, you know, and you hear me on the show all the time, the Big 10 stuff drives me nuts, but it's hard to argue with this. There are seven rounds of the draft. Like, this is not just, if we were basing it purely on first round draft picks, that would be one thing, but this is an all-encompassing draft. There's seven rounds. So many picks get made in this draft. I think it's a pretty large sample there to try and dispute, like, hey, this is a bad look for the Big 12. It's just tough to get around.
Michigan had the most of any one
yeah.
school.
Right, Michigan, like 11 guys drafted?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whew, yeah, Michigan's getting it done. The Big 10's getting it done. And recruiting is a definite concern now for the Big 12. This will not help. You know, schools like K-State, I think it's okay. Look, we had... What's 1 divided by 7? I need some quick math here.
Oh,
1 divided by 7.
Like 0.18 or point no. No, no, no. 0.2 I'm going to need to take some time to think about this.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure it out. Anyway, you
point
can go say
0.14.
Okay. We have 14% of the draft picks in the Big 12 just ourselves. You know, you can sell that, but teams like Oklahoma, Texas, I do think it hurts. And probably the whole league. It really does hurt. There are a lot of factors that we could get into about why the Big 12 draft picks are down. Baylor and TCU's struggles don't help. We'll talk about some of it with Cole Manbeck at 5:25 in hour two of the show. When we come back, though, you should like the Patrick Mahomes pick if you're a Chiefs fan. And it has nothing to do with Mahomes himself. Nothing to do with your opinion of him as a college football player. I'll tell you why next.